is My Hometown, starring Cliff Arquette and Will Wright. Remember how culture came to my hometown of Amity. It was a bit slow in arriving, perhaps, but when it did come, it burst over us like a summer thunderstorm. Now, Amity isn't a large town, and most of our social affairs were held in Trevis Hall, a two-story brick building, mellowed with age and dating way back to the time of gaslight. When Colonel Trevis died, he left the hall jointly to two old codgers, Willie and Ed Penrose. They ran it for years. Weddings, dances, meetings, they all took place in Trevis Hall. One morning in the business office of the hall.
Trevis Hall, Ed Penrose, manager speaking.
What's your manager?
I say this is Trevis Hall.
Now, just a second.
Okay, that'll be fine.
What do you mean, Ed Penrose? Tell him that fella you're the manager.
Because I am the manager.
You're the manager on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The rest of the time, you're the janitor, and I'm the manager.
Well, ain't today Friday?
You know what it is. How can you stand there and lie like that? How can you look me in the face?
I don't know. I guess by this time, I'm just sort of used to your face.
Yes, well...
You walked right into that one.
Yeah, never mind.
I wish I could have heard it. Yes, sir. What can I do for you, Buster?
Hey, who's the head man around here?
You're talking to the right fellow.
Okay. I got a bill for you.
Hey, a bill? Oh. Well, call the manager. Fella's got a bill.
Hmm? Bill?
Yeah, bill.
Come on, fellas, break it up, will you? I got a piano consigned to you. Been carrying it around in my truck for 2 weeks.
What, Chief?
Look, I'm from the Dolphin Moving Company, and I got...
What's a dolphin?
Why, just a name. I think a dolphin is a kind of a fish, something like a whale. And this...
Well, we don't want to buy no fish.
No.
Especially a whale.
Yeah, but this
is... You see, mister, we don't care much for whale.
It isn't a whale.
Well, we don't care much for any kind of fish.
Listen, will you let me get a word in? I got a piano.
Piano?
Yes, and I've been carrying it around for 2 weeks.
Well, seems to me it'd be easier if you took up the harmonica.
The piano's outside in my truck. It's consigned to the concert hall.
Well, I don't know nothing about a piano. Where'd it come from?
I picked it up in Bennington.
Where?
Bennington. It was brought there by Transcontinental Transfer.
Who?
Transcontinental Transfer Company. So I don't know where it come from. Transcontinental has lines all over. One to New York, 3 to Chicago, and 2 to Duluth.
What, Jay?
2 to Duluth, 2 to Duluth.
Yeah, well, tweedledee-dee, tweedledee-dee to you, too, smarty.
Yeah. Oh, now, look, fellas, look. I've been...
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Pinkley.
Hello, Miss Pinkley.
Yes.
Listen, fellas, what about the piano?
Why don't you just take it along? Yeah. We'll call you up later. We're busy now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's going to cost you dough.
All right. We'll phone you about it.
Yeah. So long.
Okay.
I do hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, of course not, Mrs. Pinkley. Say, you know something? Every time you come in here, you look prettier.
Oh, I don't, Mr. Penrose.
Yes, you do.
Oh, but I don't.
You certainly do.
No, really, really, I don't look prettier.
You win.
What can we do for you, Miss Pinkley?
Well, Mr. Penrose, the Women's Wednesday Club feels that we have come of age now.
What delayed you?
Amity has come of age.
Oh.
In a cultural sense. So we're arranging a series of concerts.
Oh, concerts. Yes, I see.
With outstanding artists. Oh, there's the Jose Moreno, the virtuoso.
What's a virtuoso?
A virtuoso? Why, that means, it's Italian for expert manipulator. He plays the piano.
Of course, Ed.
And then Jan Sabotsky, the great maestro.
What's a maestro?
Why, that's Italian for expert exterminator. He catches mice.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm afraid you still don't understand. Huh? Jan Sabotsky is a world-famous violinist and composer. Mm. And just think, for the first time in many years, he's going to do his own work.
Well, who's been doing it?
Well, more than likely his wife.
Oh, yes.
The little missus.
No.
You mean she catches the mice?
Will you please forget the mice? They haven't anything to do with it. My goodness, where do the mice come in anyway?
Through that hole back of the door there.
Am not talking about mice. I'm telling you about Jan Sabotsky. Though I dare say this old building could use a few mouse traps.
No, just a second here. This building might be old, but it ain't full of mice.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Then how do you account for that hole back of the door?
That hole, that's just for a couple of field mice.
Oh, yes. They don't do no harm.
Why, no. A couple of old field mice are stone blind.
How very interesting.
Yeah, we thought so. Yeah.
But if they're blind, how do they see to get in and out of that hole?
They got a seeing-eye bat.
Yes, my bad.
Now you see here.
Did you want something, Miss Pinkley?
Yes. I came here to talk about engaging the hall for the concert.
Oh.
Only, we're having a little difficulty.
Is that so?
You see, Mr. Bowman, he's manager of the Concert Bureau. I'm here to make financial arrangements. Mm. Well, he wants an $8,000 advance guarantee.
Shakes. That's a lot of money, Miss Pinkley.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. I quite agree with you. It's every cent the club has been able to raise.
I imagine it is.
So we're wondering if you would provide the hall gratuitously.
Huh? Oh, yes. What was that again?
Gratuitously.
Certainly. Certainly, yeah. We'll provide the hall gratuitously. Certainly.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, you'll have to make the 50% down payment.
Mr. Penrose, gratuitously means without a charge.
What?
What's that?
Give you the hall for nothing?
Well, you'd hardly be giving it to us. No. You'd be making a contribution to culture.
Well, why should I do anything for culture? Culture wouldn't do nothing for me.
With that, I can heartily agree.
Now, hold on, Miss Pinkley. No use getting on your high horse.
Well, your cousin is the most obstinate, argumentative man I have ever met.
No, I am not.
You are.
I am not.
You are.
He ain't.
I am. wait a minute. Something went wrong back there. I was knifed.
Never mind. Anybody can get along with that, Miss Pinkley. All you have to do is agree with him.
Very well. Well, this time I will agree with him.
Won't do you no good. I've just changed my mind.
Oh, why do I waste my time with morons like you two?
Morons?
Morons?
Well, now, just for that, you take your meisters and virtues someplace else.
Yeah, and you won't get the hall at all.
You are mistaken, Mr. Penrose. We'll get the hall all right. And what's more, we'll get it for nothing.
Well, when Carolyn Pinkley made up her mind about something, she was the irresistible force and the immovable object all in one. And a few days later, she and the Concert Bureau manager, Mr. Bowman, paid a visit to Mayor Felder. The mayor was in his office when...
Oh, come in, Carolyn. It's good to see you.
Mayor Felder, this is Mr. Bowman, manager of the Concert Bureau.
Oh, yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, well, sit down. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
Martin, you've definitely got to do something with Willie and Ed Penrose.
Well, I don't quite follow you, Karen.
It seems they've refused to let us have the hall.
And everything's been arranged for the concert series. The money has been raised. I have the check right here ready to hand to Mr. Bowman. We're to have great artists. Artists like Jose Moreno. But what happened? Willie and Ed Penrose say no.
And what makes it particularly embarrassing, Mr. Mayor, I've already signed the contract with Moreno.
Well, yes, I see, but... well, it's unfortunate.
Unfortunate? It's tragic that two half-witted oafs can set themselves up as dictators and arbiters of public taste.
But Carolyn, there's nothing I can do about it. Willie and Ed own the building, and if they see fit...
Oh, but there is something you can do about it, Martin. I have been talking to Harold McChesney, and he tells me the city can condemn the building and take it away from Willie and Ed Penrose.
Oh, now, Carolyn...
And then the city could completely renovate the building and turn it into a cultural center.
McChesney mentioned a legal principle called, I believe, eminent domain.
Well, yes, Mr. Bowman, yes, there is such a principle,
and
but...
he said all we have to do is present a petition to the city council.
Now, Carolyn, Harold McChesney is a fine boy and a smart young lawyer,
exactly.
But...
And at the next council meeting, he's going to present the petition for us.
He's... Now, wait. No, you can't do that. You can't...
And why not? The building is an eyesore. It's unsafe and unsanitary and infested with mice and rats.
But don't you see, Carolyn, if that petition is brought up, well, as presiding officer of the council meeting, it's up to me to accept or reject it for discussion.
Yes, I know, Martin. And that's just why we've come here to talk to you.
But it puts me in a spot. There are a lot of people who won't agree with you about Travis Hall. There are a lot of people who regard it as a monument, a revered and hallowed landmark.
Oh, rubbish. Amity needs a cultural center. And who's going to object to that? Only the lowbrows.
Well, lowbrows or not, they all have votes, and with the election coming up, well, I'm just not going to have an issue like this introduced during my election campaign.
Well, I don't see how you have a choice, Mr. Mayor. As taxpayers, the Women's Wednesday Club has a right to petition the council on any matter.
Well, that's quite true, but I'm telling you right now, Mr. Bowman, if the petition is presented, I refuse to permit a discussion, and well, that's final.
Oh. Well, Martin, perhaps Amity not only needs a new cultural center, but a new mayor. And we women have enough votes to accomplish just that.
Oh, now, Carolyn, you... Oh, no, you don't mean that.
Oh, don't I? Well, you just try to table our petition, and you'll see. Goodbye, Martin.
Now, news travels fast in a small town. Within 24 hours, I guess practically everyone in Amity had heard about the petition, except Willie and Ed Penrose. It seems they were in the office.
It says here in the paper, Swallows of Light in Capistrano.
Well, that's a funny one. Why had a feller swallow a light?
Weather report says fair and warmer.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would he light it? No electricity in his stomach.
With brisk southerly...
Of course, it could have been a gas light, I suppose.
Stop that mumbling. I'm trying to read the paper.
Might have had some currant jelly. Mm. And then, of course, he... Yes, sir. What's on your mind, Buster?
Excuse me. I'm trying to find number 12 Oak Street.
Okay, I'll excuse you this time, but don't let it happen again, kid.
No, I won't. Thank you. Wait. I mean, how do I get there?
Oh, well, first turn to the right and climb the hill.
And that will take me to number 12?
No, that'll take you to number 6. Oh,
but how do I get to number 12?
Well, let's see. Well, you might try climbing the hill twice.
No, I...
Oh, sakes alive. Come on, mister, I'll show you where it is. There, on the next corner.
Well, thank you. Thank you ever so much.
Can't even sit down and read the paper. Well, that's funny. What became of that cigar? Wait a second. What's that in your vest pocket, Ed Penrose?
Oh, that.
Yes.
Now, you don't think I stole it, do you?
Well, to tell the truth...
Well, never mind. When I want the truth, I'll ask for it. I found it on my desk, so I figured it was mine.
Yes. And I suppose if you found an egg in your yard, you'd figure you laid it.
If it was in my yard, it'd be mine, whoever laid it.
Oh, is that so?
Yes,
well, just... Oh, hello, Harold. What's in your mind?
Well, I simply came in to talk over this.
Oh, say, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're a lawyer. Answer a question for me, will you?
If I can.
Listen now, Ed.
I'm listening.
Listen good.
I'm listening real good.
Harold, supposing somebody else's hen laid an egg in your yard. If you took it, would that be stealing?
Well, Mr. Penrose, it so happens that I can answer your question. In fact, that's my business.
What, stealing eggs?
Answering legal questions.
Oh.
And this particular question goes back to an early principle of common law.
It does, huh?
One that was laid 600 years ago.
Oh, well, then forget it. An egg laid 600 years ago ain't worth arguing about.
I'm not speaking of eggs.
That's right. 600-year-old egg.
Be pretty old, I guess.
What's that, Harold?
I hope you're enjoying the joke.
Yeah.
You may not feel so humorous when you hear the news.
What news is that, Harold?
Mrs. Pinkley is circulating a petition to have Travis Hall taken away from you.
Huh?
What? Taken away from us?
Why, she's crazy. Nobody can take Travis Hall away from us.
Well,
you're mistaken.
Yeah?
The city can condemn and seize this property on the grounds that you're maintaining a public hazard.
Well now, wait a second. We didn't know we was maintaining any hazard.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah, well, then just what is your excuse?
You will regret that remark, Mr. Penrose, when I present the petition at the next council meeting.
When you present it?
Yes. I have been retained by Mrs. Pinkley.
Why, you young whippersnapper. Why, you couldn't present it?
Hold on, Ed. Hold on. Just simmer down.
Simmer.
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Harold. Why, we've known you ever since you was a little kid.
You're a little kid, yeah.
You surely can't go to the council.
Are you telling me where I can go?
Well, somebody should.
Now, Ed.
Right to petition the council is granted by the city's constitution.
Well, maybe the city's got a constitution that can stand you, Harold, but I haven't. Now get out.
Very well. I'll get out. And after the next council meeting, so will both of you.
You are listening to Cliff Arquette and Will Wright as Ed and Willie Penrose in My Hometown. Now, back to our story.
Well, the Travis Hall issue divided Amity like a wedge splits a log. The controversy raged for a week. Then came the night of the council meeting.
And now, if there's no further business, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, there is further business.
What did you say, Ed?
Keep quiet.
I have a petition here, Mr. Mayor, with the proper number of signatures, requesting that Travis Hall be condemned as unsafe and unsanitary. It is not only overrun with rats.
Hold on there, Harold, now. Why would there be rats in Travis Hall when there's nothing there for him to eat?
Well, maybe he figures they just room there and eat out.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the owners of the building have already admitted to me that there are rats. I challenge them to deny it.
And besides, the structure is old, dilapidated, and dangerous.
All right, Harold, but more dilapidated, it can't be seized without seizing the land. And there's no law to support such an action, so I...
I beg to differ with you, Mr. Mayor. The land is not a factor for consideration. I cite a case in English common law.
Yeah, if that's the one about the chicken and the egg, we heard it.
It isn't about a chicken. It involves a duck.
Oh, a switch, huh?
It's the celebrated case, Mr. Mayor, of Jonathan Long versus the Duke of Northumbria. Now, the Duke, in taking a short gallop over his estate, rode over and killed a duck belonging to one Jonathan Long. Now, at the trial...
Harold. What'd you say he done?
Took a short gallop and rode on Long's duck.
Yeah, took a short gallop on a long duck.
I didn't say that.
That's the first time I ever heard of a galloping duck.
I didn't say
that. Well, you know, Willie, a duck's got to gallop kind of softly.
Oh!
Well, what do you mean? Why does a duck got to gallop softly?
Because a duck can't gallop. Hardly.
Mr. Mayor, may I continue?
Go ahead, Harold.
Go on, Willis.
Well, as I was about to say, although the duck was on the Duke's land,
The duck was killed notwithstanding.
Killed not with what?
Killed notwithstanding. The duck was laying down.
The duck wasn't lying down.
Well, I never heard of a dead duck standing up. I declare.
Now look, the Duke killed the duck.
What, again?
I'm starting all over. The Duke is riding along. Something stirs in the bushes. And in flies...
A dead duck.
No! The duck isn't dead yet.
That's the toughest duck I ever seen.
Yeah, me too.
Mr. Mayor! Mr. Mayor, I'm trying to make a point.
Trying to make a point.
Yeah.
Oh. Although the duck was on the Duke's land, it belonged to another man. Now, the horse accidentally kicked him.
Who, the man?
No, the Duke.
No, the duck.
Oh.
So the man tried to collect money for the duck.
Well, what good would money do a dead duck?
I mean, he sued. He took the case to court with the Lord High Justice on the bench. Well, it looked as if he didn't have a leg to stand on.
Who, the duck?
No, the Duke.
No, the man.
Oh.
He didn't have a leg to stand on, so...
So he stood on the bench.
No!
Mr.
Mayor, will you order these men to be quiet? I can't hear myself talk.
Well, Bob, you ain't missing much.
I presume you know more than I do?
Yes, and that's putting it considerably.
Oh, indeed. Well, then, with the Lord High Judge on the bench, what did the man say to him?
Well, that's an interesting question. What did he say, Harold says, huh? Well, he said, Lord Judge.
That happens to be wrong.
Huh?
He said, my lord, the duck.
Yeah, it wasn't the Lord Judge.
The duck?
It was the High Judge. The
well, duck. All right.
The duck?
So he said, High Judge.
The duck is dead!
He is. Shakes. I hope from nothing serious.
Mr. Mayor. He's attempting to confuse the issue.
Who, the Duke?
No, the duck.
No, you.
Now, please, everybody. It's too late to open a discussion on this matter. We'll set it over.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Mullen.
This doesn't need a discussion. I move for an immediate vote.
Yes, of course.
On the resolution that Travis Hall should be condemned.
I second that motion.
I move we all go home.
You're out of order.
I know it. My back has been killing me.
Mr. Mayor. It's been moved and seconded. It has to be put to a vote.
All right. But this is strictly up to the council. I take no responsibility. Councilmen in favor of condemning Travis Hall.
Aye.
Contrary.
No.
Hey.
See, it's a tie.
A tie.
3-3.
Yeah?
Well, Mr. Mayor, in case of a tie, I believe you cast the deciding vote. And I don't think I have to remind you. There's an election coming up next Tuesday.
Now, it seemed the mayor had 24 hours to consider the matter, so the council meeting ended without a decision. Then, early the next morning...
Yes, sir? Hello, Pop. Remember me?
No, don't see the place, sir.
Well, maybe this will help. Here's your bill. $20 for cottage from Bennington and $80 for extra drayage and even $100.
What?
I've had that piano in my truck for another week.
Yeah, what is it, Willie? What is it? What's going on?
Fellow wants $100. You'd better talk to him. You're the manager.
Yeah, not me. I'm only the janitor around here.
You're the manager.
Yeah, don't believe a word he says, mister. He's the biggest liar in town.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, that's
well,
now,
so.
Look, I don't care who's the manager and who's the janitor. You're the guy who told me to keep the piano in the truck and you'd phone me.
I told you that?
Yeah, you.
Oh, well, shakes, you ought to know better than to believe me. Ed just told you, I'm the biggest liar in town.
Here's your bill, and it's $100.
Yeah. What's it say, Willie?
Why, it don't make sense. First it charges for cottage, then it charges for drayage.
That's right. If a thing comes in a cart, it's cottage. And if it comes in a dray, it's drayage.
If it comes in a cab, it's cabbage.
Now, listen.
Well, we don't want no cabbage.
But it ain't
we
no...
We don't care much for cabbage.
Just a minute. Me. I'm going to sock somebody right now.
Why, Mayor Felder.
I'm still going to sock somebody.
Hey,
right
keep
now.
Quiet. This is his honor, the mayor's.
Boys, I... oh, dear. I've got to vote in favor of the resolution.
What?
You mean and let him take Travis Hall?
Well, I haven't any choice, Ed.
Carolyn Pinkley has enough votes to defeat me if I don't give in.
Oh, shakes. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen to me and Ed now.
No.
Well, we've been here for years and years. If they take Travis Hall away from us...
Oh, now, boys,
well, yes. Without Travis Hall, without the dances and the meetings and the shows, it just won't be the same.
Say, look, I got a piano out there.
Well, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Why, Martin, fancy meeting you here. Trying to plot behind my back, it won't do you a bit of good.
I'm not plotting. I've just come to tell Willie and Ed that I'm signing the resolution. The building will be condemned.
Well, you're a very smart man, Martin. All right, Mr. Bowman, here is our check for $8,000.
Thank you, thank you. I'll wire my office that everything is in order. We'll start the series with Jose Moreno.
Well, that settles everything. Well, I've aged 10 years putting this over. I may not look it, but I have aged 10 years.
Don't worry, you look it.
Good morning. Huh? I'm extremely sorry to be annoying you again, but the place I was looking for wasn't number 12 Oak Street, but 112.
Well, this is 112. Hey, what's on your mind?
Frankly, I'm having little trouble. You see, I've lost a piano.
You're having trouble. We lost a whole building.
Oh, is that so? Well, it seems the piano was picked up from Transcontinental Transfer at Bennington and by mistake brought here.
Hey, wait, hold everything. Maybe that's the piano I got on the truck.
A Beckman concert grand?
Yeah, it is a Beckman.
Well, this is very fortunate, very fortunate. It's the piano for Jose Moreno's concert in Duluth. You see, I'm his manager.
You're Jose Moreno's manager? Oh, why, then you must know Mr. Bowman.
Bowman? No, I don't believe.
If you'll excuse me, Mrs. Pinkley,
You mean that man?
I'd better wire my office.
One moment, sir. Yes, madam, I do know him, but not as Mr. Bowman. I was a witness at his trial 3 years ago.
Trial?
Yes, for fraud. His racket was booking artists he couldn't and didn't intend to deliver. He's a swindler.
You're mistaken. I've got to be going.
If he's told you he's booked Moreno here, he's lying.
Oh, stop him! Stop him!
Look out!
I
got him!
Hey, did he get him?
Serves him right.
I told you I was going to sock somebody.
A swindler, huh? Look at him laying there flat on an ice man's shoulder.
A gyp artist, a confidence man. And you, Carolyn, you gave him $8,000.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't realize.
$8,000 donated by the good citizens of this town.
Well, we'll give it back. We'll return the money.
How can you return the money?
Why, that'll be easy.
Not for a politician.
No. I mean, how can she return it? After all this talk about bringing culture to Amity, or after all this hubbub and discord she's caused, what will people say?
I don't know.
Well, you can't return it without making a fool out of yourself and out of me. Oh, here I was, almost ready to condemn this beautiful old building, these hallowed walls with their glorious traditions.
Well, never mind making a speech.
I'm not entirely familiar with what's been happening here, but if a concert by Moreno will help solve the difficulty, I'll be happy to arrange it.
Oh. You will. Oh, thank heavens. That'll save us.
But you'll still have to pay for the hall.
Oh, yes. We'll pay.
And you'll be getting off easy. I can't understand. How on earth, Carolyn, how on earth could you possibly do so many stupid things all in 1 week?
She got up early.
So we did get Jose Moreno after all, and a great many other fine artists as well. And they all appeared in old Travis Hall. Yes, today in Amity, we're well up on our music. We not only know the popular songs, but the classics from which they were lifted. Good night.
You have been listening to My Hometown, starring Cliff Arquette and Will Wright as Ed and Willie Penrose.
Others in the cast included Eleanor Audley, Joseph Kearns, Sam Edwards, Walter Burke, Wilms Herbert, and Theodore Von Eltz. My Hometown was written by John Eugene Hasty and directed by Max Hutto. Music was by John Duffy. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.